Welcome to Legal, Legal, and the Coach, a show set to present local and national trailblazers in business and celebrity circles like authors and speakers who will share their stories, struggles, adventures in life, and keys to their success brought to you by Tough Talk Radio Network. Here are your hosts, David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser.
Well, hello, this is David Altenburn, the Legal Eagle, and I'm very proud to be hosting another show with my partner in crime, as we like to say, my co-host, business coach extraordinaire, Brian Kaiser. Welcome to another edition, the first of the year. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Hopefully you had a great, great holiday season of family and friends and reflection on your life, on your business. We're talking today about expectations for opportunities. We challenged everybody in our special New Year's edition to look at your life personally and professionally and look ahead to year end on where you'd want to be and what it takes to get there. So I'd like to kind of focus us in today at the start of this show on the new beginnings of a new year. I mean, do you have new people working for you? Do you have new policy? Have new paperwork? You know, are all systems go? Because, you know, we all know the holiday season can be sometimes a slow season for business, but by this time, first week in January, everybody should be re-energized, focused to start off the year. Have you got your strategies in place? Have you thought out the steps it takes to reach your goals with those strategies? You know, action is where it's at, and at all times, we're looking at everything. So we're very honored to be part of this Tony Gambone Network. Our producer, Tony Gambone, one of the true pioneers that has really banded internet radio out there, the future. And, you know, it's people listening to our show, for example, that can get those opportunity ideas out there. You know, you got to have a mindset of excellence. You're never going to achieve excellence unless you set your goal on excellence. We all want to be all that we can be. And in our country, with the freedoms we have, through the education programs we have, through radio, through print media, through the internet, through cable television, through all the things that are out there, the networking groups, the thousands of networking groups in our city of Houston, Texas, these are all opportunities to learn and grow in business. So, Brian, as we get ready for our show today, we've got two amazing guests. We have Reese Oresti First, who has a program of paylessforcollege.com. And so we've had many shows that focus on the adult level after people get out of school and they're already in business. Today, we're going to have the first part of our show focus on how can you finance college. And in today's age, when the world has changed, the speed of information, the wealth of information out there, there's those that say you don't need college. Well, I'm one of those old-fashioned guys that says college can never hurt anyone. Education is where it's at to be all that you can be. So then our second guest is up the legal alley. Sarah Ratke is a litigation attorney, to my understanding, who went to some great schools, I would say, for her education, Georgetown and the University of Michigan, one of the top law schools in the country. So we're very interested to see what our guests have to say. How are you doing to start off this year, Brian, Mr. Kaiser?
You know, I am, as I usually say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Happy New Year, Legal Eagle. Happy New Year to all the listeners out there. I hope everyone took us up on our challenge as we exited 2014 and came into this new year of 2015 with great expectations for ourselves and understanding and knowing the expectations of those around us and that add value and benefit to our lives. So I hope everyone really took the time, reflected on that, asked themselves the question that we ground into the show last week, but just took that time to reflect and then set expectations so that those goals and those plans actually have meaning and purpose and actually can be measured and live up to what you need to have happened to have a significant year. So we welcome everyone to the show. I have, as usual, I have my nice quote coming from Mandy Hale that says, in 2015, hold on to what grows you, fires you, encourages you, or blesses you, and let go of the rest. So,
wow,
David, I'm doing
quote.
Excellent.
Can you repeat that quote again? Because that is one of the best ones we've had on our show. So everybody can grab on to those words and the ideas behind those words. I'd like to hear that one again.
No problem. In 2015, hold on to what grows you, inspires you, encourages you, or blesses you. Let go of all the rest.
Wow.
And it comes from Mandy Hale, a very inspiring person. I follow her posts and motivational messages that she puts out on a daily basis and really get inspired by those things. And I think that that's when we set expectations, you know, Dave, when we were talking about how to set those expectations a little bit off the air, when you set expectations for yourself, you have to hone in on those things. What's going to help you grow? What's going to keep you motivated and encouraged and inspired? And then what's going to bring the most blessings to you in your life and your family and your business? And then anything else outside of that isn't worth it, so just let it go.
You know, that's such a great quote because, you know, years ago someone taught me as I embarked upon my career as an attorney and had my own law firm and business that you either grow or die. And they said that, you know, it isn't all about growing as far as getting larger. It's growing in the quality of services you provide, in the efficiency, the speed with which you provide those services, and the effectiveness, again, quality of those services. And then in time, naturally, good work begets more good work, gets more referrals coming your way. And so growing has to be a part of everyone's focus as we start a new year, or should be. Also inspiring. We talk about mentors and those above us that have paved the way for us, whether it's your parents, certain friends, certain business people you've come across. You know, you do have to hold on to those people that inspire you and, you know, encourage us to be all that we can be. So love the start of the focus of this show, and it sounds like we're going to have some guests here that will inspire our audience some today.
Oh, definitely.
Educate and entertain.
I am looking forward to both of them and looking forward to what they have to help people set expectations. You know, we have Reese coming on that's going to talk about, you know, how to look for colleges and affordable ways to get your child through there. I have one that in 2 years will be entering into that world. And, of course, I'm already looking at the, you know, what kind of financial commitments I'm going to need to have set up and in place to get him through those years. And, you know, I think it's really, really going to be a great show where we focus on the expectations for the opportunity. We're all given opportunities every day. We make a choice whether we accept them or we let them go. But most people don't take the time, and I think all of us fail in some regards, of actually setting an expectation for ourselves and understanding the expectation of others so that the relationship works and we both grow and inspire and bring blessings and encouragement to the whole instead of just focusing on ourselves. So put out a really cool quote this morning. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say that, you know, hand in glove with opportunity is the ability to manage and take risk and to act upon what comes our way. You know, we all get bombarded with information today, and it's the sorting out of all that information to what's real and what's valuable to your focus in life and in business for those opportunities. And college is all about opportunities. You know, in America,
exactly,
we've got the freedom to go to junior colleges and transfer on to larger universities. We have the ability to educate ourselves online. There's a wealth of information, you know. In the old days, you know, when we all would have to go to libraries for hard books and encyclopedias, today we've got Google and the Internet that almost any subject you want to address, there's a wealth and wealth of information out there. And so our first guest that talks about how do you, you know, finance and how do you afford and how do you manage to give those opportunities to the next generation, it's going to be very interesting. And then as a fellow litigating attorney like our second guest, you know, when there's conflict out there, there's opportunity through mediation and there's opportunity through, you know, the litigation court system, if necessary, to resolve disputes that can often involve very big stakes for people out there. Got a number of business cases right now where businesses are nearly destroyed and they end up suing other people on the conduct to see if they can recover for those activities. And so we start the new year. We're going to be talking about opportunities. We're going to talk about our guests and how they can help share and add value to our audience. Pretty close to a commercial break. Any final thoughts before we get rolling with our guests?
No, we encourage everybody as, you know, as a business coach and helping people make connections and things, I tell everybody to make a plan. But I also have people go deeper and set expectations for that plan. And I put out a cool quote this morning that just made that really clear to everybody, stating that, you know, a plan without expectations is like having a Bugatti without fuel.
Well, I'd heard it a little different, which is a plan. You know, those without a plan do have a plan, and it's usually a plan to fail or not always fail, but not certainly optimize all that you could be. You know, you got to have a plan, and then you got to work your plan, and there's a lot that goes into a plan. You know, a business plan has a lot of subcomponents, things we talked about earlier: people, policies, procedure. Documentation and plans that focus on where are you getting your business, your prospects out, and how do you price your services and products, and how do you distinguish yourself and get known out there through marketing. So there's so many things involved in the expectations for opportunity. So when we go to commercial break.
Yep, Legal Eagle, you know the number one reason why people don't stick with their plan?
No, educate us now.
Because their plan didn't meet their end result or their ending expectation. So that's before we head into the commercial break, that's the final thought is the people usually don't stick to a plan and don't work their plan because some part in there they forgot to set an expectation either that was realistic or that they could actually accomplish, and therefore they let go of that plan and kind of just, you know, freewheel it from there.
And as we discussed before, it needs to be specific. So let's go to our commercial break and come back with our great guest today.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Feeling burnt out or lost on where to go next? Feeling like you own a job instead of a business, or that your business is running you instead of you running it? Expert business advisor Mike Calderwood can help. Mike uses a personalized, strategic, and proven approach to help you identify what is and isn't working in your business. He'll then help you establish an action plan so your business can thrive. Mike Calderwood, providing you straightforward solutions to gain a real advantage in your business. Learn more at MikeCalderwood.net.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Welcome back, Legal Eagle. How are you doing? Ready to bring on our first guest?
Ready to rock and roll. Let's go.
Excellent. Reese, are you there? Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. How is the weather in Florida? We're fixing to get snapped here in Houston with some surprisingly and unconscionable cold weather, actually dipping into the 20s tonight. So how are things in Florida? And after you answer that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. This is funny. I was in Houston about a month ago, and it was after it had warmed up. Right now I'm on my way to Orlando, about 15 miles away, and it's 70 degrees. But tonight it'll be in the 30s.
Oh, okay. So you're getting a little bit of a cold snap too, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
I must say something struck a real nerve when you guys were talking about plans and planning. I've had an expression in my business for 35 years. Plan your work, work your plan. Nobody plans
exactly.
To fail.
Exactly.
But too many people fail to plan.
Yep, they do. And you know
Exactly what we were talking about and put it in perspective. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and when you fail to plan, then you can't expect too much out of that, huh?
That's right.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I've been a financial advisor since 1977, and I've been doing college admissions and financial aid consulting for 35 years. Showing families how to send their kids to the best schools for the least amount of money. And I'm proud to say that this year I personally was responsible for getting one of my students into Princeton University.
Fantastic. And, you know, we talk about goals and expectations. The best schools for the least amount of money, I think, capitalized it all in the education front. And, you know, talk to us a little about this. You know, back when, you know, we would go to college and look at financial issues, the computers were not as advanced as they are today. You know, there's winds of change, often technology-based, all around us. Today you got FAFSA, you push a button, you find out about scholarships and loans. But can you talk to us a little bit about, given the language involved in the college financial front, how things have changed over the years and what's the best way for parents and college students to be to go about it today?
Well, one thing to not consider is a 529 savings plan that unfortunately has billions and trillions of dollars from the various states, because these plans were designed for stockbrokers to make more money.
Okay.
The 529 plan is used to pay for college expenses, tuition and fees and what have you. And unfortunately, the only benefit that somebody is going to get out of it is if they're in a very high tax bracket and they have huge gains. In other words, if somebody bought into a plan early in 2009 when the market had tanked, and then they went ahead and sold it this week or last week when the market has peaked, then they're going to be able to get all those tax-free gains. And only if they're going to be able to spend the money for college this calendar year. The timing is impossible. You can't time the market. I mean, I've been a student of the stock market for over 50 years, and you can't possibly time it. But one thing that everybody needs to know is that in the financial aid formulas, students have no asset protection allowance. For every dollar that a student has, they lose 20 cents per year in financial aid. And that's pretty serious. Parents,
well,
on the other hand, yes?
Does parents' income come into the equation for new students?
Okay, well, there's a term, the EFC, which is the expected family contribution, and that's the minimum amount that the federal government determines that any family is going to have to pay for college wherever the student goes. And that's based on parent and student income, parent and student assets, age of the older parent, and number of dependent family members attending at the undergraduate level. And a ballpark figure, 537 on the tax return is the adjusted gross income, and a ballpark figure of what the EFC is going to be, excluding assets, this is just based on income, it's about 20%. So if the family's adjusted gross income is $100,000, their EFC is going to be around $20,000.
So they contribute $20,000 toward the education, and the rest is through loans and grants?
Well, that's the minimum amount they're going to be expected to pay on a need basis. The student, here, I'll give you an example. Let's talk about a college near you, Rice. It's probably $65,000, the cost of attendance. And let's assume that the EFC is 20. So therefore, the financial need is $45,000. However, the student could get merit aid of $50,000, far beyond the EFC. So consequently, their out-of-pocket cost might only be $5,000 or $10,000.
Okay, and for education, merit aid is high grades in high school and things that get you assistance?
Merit is based on academic accolades. It's got nothing to do with need. A family whose income is $500,000, the student could wind up going to college for nothing if they're a really top academic superstar.
Right. Okay, thank you. So basically, we look at adjusted gross income on a tax return to give you a rough idea that 20% of that will be your expected minimum financial contribution, but based on the merit and the academic accolades, as you put it, in high school of a student, they may get scholarships and financial aid that exceeds the amount of their financial need, which is the difference between the cost of the college program and the expected family contribution. Very good.
Absolutely.
Very good.
You couldn't have said it any better.
Well, thank you.
But what,
I'm trying to
what,
follow.
What families also need to be aware of is the asset protection allowance. And for the past several years, it's been going down about 15% a year. And
what
if I'm not
do you
mistaken,
mean by that? Asset protection dilemmas.
Here's what the asset protection allowance includes. Cash, checking for parents. Cash, checking, savings, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate other than your house. And in a family, in a two-parent family, the older parent, 45, the asset protection allowance is going to be somewhere around $30,000. And that's not very much. In a one-parent family, if the parent is 48 years old, the asset protection allowance will be less than $10,000. Unfortunately, most people are going to be well over the allowance, and then they lose 5.64% per year for every dollar over their asset protection allowance.
So if they have $100,000, let's say they have $130,000 in assets and they're allowed this asset protection of $30,000, that means they have $100,000, you're saying 5.64% of that will be how much less they get in financial aid, essentially?
Per year, $5,640 per year.
Okay.
That's pretty serious.
Yes.
Students, as I mentioned earlier, have no asset protection allowance. Parents do too. Students have an income protection allowance, and this year it's $6,300. Unfortunately, any dutiful kid who earns over $6,300 will lose 50 cents of the dollar for every dollar earned over that. And that's really unfair, but that's the way the formulas work.
Wow.
Right, I know. It's serious, very serious.
Well, business coach, sounds like you've got a lot of work with parents out there as to work themselves through all these formulas.
Well, there are a lot of legal strategies that families can use to take advantage and maximize themselves for financial aid. And one of the things that President Bush did, he signed an act back in 2005 that permitted the small business owner to exclude the assets of the business if there were less than 100 full-time employees. Now, who does that help? It helps rich people, because ordinary people don't have businesses, dozens or 70 or 80 employees with payrolls in the millions and millions of dollars.
Wow.
So that was a rich man's ploy.
Yeah,
so any student with self-employed parents gets a significant benefit here, it sounds.
Absolutely, positively. And it's all legal, moral, and ethical.
Wow. Well, Reese, I guess now we know what you do and how and the things that you focus on. Going to the top of your funnel, if you will, of how you get people and attract people to you, what is the first step people would take to get to some information from you and start engaging in your process to work them through to where you can actually help them?
Go to my website and send me an email and mention the show, and I will be more than happy to give anyone a free financial consultation.
Okay, so the first
thing
is
awesome.
You get some free consultation. Then the next step after we go into the free consultation is you can direct them into part of your program where you can actually start digging in and finding out where they are and then what they'll need to put in place so that they can actually afford to put their child through college.
Correct. It's very simple. I have a consultation. It may take 15, 20, 25 minutes, a half an hour, whatever. And then I simply email the person our agreement. And they have two choices. They're going to hire us or not. It's that simple.
How do you get compensated? And can you give us some idea of the cost? And listen, from what you've already described, it's clear to me that you probably provide value of your services far in excess of your fee, but can you give us, our audience, some idea of the cost?
Yes. Actually, there are three schedules of fees. Admissions and financial aid consulting through 4 years or even 5 years of schooling is $1,895. Financial aid consulting, and it's a one-time fee. Financial aid only, which doesn't include anything to do with the admissions process because maybe they're working with a private tutor or they've got they're fortunate enough to have a dynamite guidance counselor who's helping them with their essays and everything. The financial aid fee alone is $1,295. And then for a student who's already in college, now we're only talking about one school that I'm going to be involved with, the fee is $495 for the remainder of that student's college tenure.
Wow, that's nice.
Eminently reasonable given all the complexity of what's involved here. And, you know, my co-host mentioned that he's got a couple years and he'll be looking at college for his son. Let me ask you, when should people start, since these strategies may be a year-to-year strategy where they can improve their positioning to get, like you say, the best education for the least cost? What is a good time for parents to engage services of someone like yourself?
Yeah, and Dave, can I add to that before you answer, Reese? How do you use that information that you're going to give the answer that David presented the question to? How do you set the expectations for the parent? Because I've worked with athletes and helped them get in scholarship situations, and that seemed to be the hardest part of the whole process was setting the expectation for mom and dad. Not as much going through the rest of it, although that was something that was tricky and needed knowledge to actually go through that process. But how do you keep mom and dad in check, so to speak?
Well, first of all, we have to consider the students' numbers, the GPA, their SAT scores, their ACT scores, and number of community service hours. If I get to work with a student for 4 years, right after middle school, before they even get into college, before they even get into high school, I can assure you that they will wind up graduating high school with over 1,000 hours of community service, and that equates to an 800 on an SAT score.
So that community piece is very important.
Yes.
The extracurriculars are, it sounds like, almost as important as the academics.
Well, no. Extracurriculars are clubs. Community service is working for others outside of high school.
Okay.
Like the rest
of doing volunteer work.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely,
okay.
Positively.
And that's something that as a parent, I should be looking at for my son. As we finished the last 2 years trying to get in as many of those community service volunteer pieces as we can, because that's actually going to be looked at and make a difference when we go to college.
Absolutely. I mean, just because a kid is a valedictorian or somebody got 2,300 on the SAT scores, so what? What does that prove? They're smart. That doesn't mean that they're going to be the right type of individuals that college wants. Just having brains isn't good enough.
Yeah, I was struck many years ago when I was asked through my wife to assist and be a cub master for a small private Lutheran troop, Memorial Lutheran Church, the Cub Scouts, and we took them on a field trip to an armory, and we met some folks that had become Eagle Scouts, and they said that being an Eagle Scout to some corporations puts you at the top management echelon, that literally all of their, because it shows discipline, it shows a lot
absolutely.
Of things.
Oh, absolutely. Commitment.
Just like your community, yes, and your community mm-hmm. service. And so, that's all. Now, you've told us that certainly if you can work with them as they start high school, that's great. If they wait till 2 years before, you can still do a lot of help for them, can't you? Because on that one-year basis, you can make them have the adjustments for that positioning again for the best education at the least cost.
Yes, income planning and legal income planning and asset repositioning will guarantee to qualify a family for maximum financial aid. And I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I've been able to do that with clients.
Before we go any farther, please tell our audience your website and your email where they can follow up with this show with you.
Okay. The website is www.paylessforcollege.com, and it's F-O-R. And if you want to send me an email, it's reecy@paylessforcollege.com. And I welcome comments.
Excellent. Reece, you've been an awesome guest for our first show, the first guest of 2015.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure being on.
Yeah, and, we always are talking about adding value and helping people out there. It seems to me like you're doing God's work out there, because given the complexity of what you discussed, that they look at the assets of the parent, they look at the assets of the child, or the income of the child, not the assets, but the income, they look at the income of the parents, and it's all these, formulas that deal with, like you say, how much are you allowed to have, which is a relatively small amount of assets before your assets start cutting into the financial aid you can get for your children. So you're in a world that to many people is a world of mystery, is a world that's pretty foreign to their background, no matter their success in life. And so I just want to applaud you for what you're doing out there. You're
Definitely.
Taking your talents,
Definitely.
And you're really providing a great value. It's got to be immensely
Definitely.
Satisfying as you work somebody through these formulas and reposition
Yep.
them for their benefit of them and their family.
Legal, I would hate to break in with you guys, but our producer says we're up on a hard break for a commercial. Reecy, give us the website one more time. Thank you for being on the show. After you give the website, we'll be going to commercial break.
www.paylessforcollege.com, and it's F-O-R.
Excellent. We'll be back after these messages.
as a practical, interactive.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Welcome back to Legal Eagle and the Coach. David, that first guest was awesome.
He really was, and, you know, people
what
might
a way
have
to kick
to
off the year,
twice.
Right? Whoa.
Yeah. Might have to listen to it twice, but it is clear it takes great expertise and a skill that he has with his background to get parents and students, our future generations, to navigate what it takes to get into the best schools for the least cost through the financial aid formulas and programs out there. So
definitely.
Now let's go to our second guest.
Yeah, we're bringing up Sarah. Sarah, are you with us?
I'm here. Hi.
How are you doing?
Great. How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Oh,
we're doing awesome.
I think we're blessed and highly favored. And, kicking off 2015, we're very appreciative you came on the show, and we're waiting to find out a little bit and let you share with our audience right now a little bit about who you are.
All right. Well, I am sure glad to be here. Just to share a little bit about myself, I'm a lawyer. I'm a partner at a major international law firm. And what I concentrate on is legal issues that arise for people who make things, people whose business is making products and have to deal with suppliers and customers making those products. So that is called supply chain legal issues, and that is what I do. But it isn't just large businesses that deal with supply chain issues, although theirs are obviously the biggest ones. Anybody who runs a business that buys or sells something can have customer or supplier issues. And because of that, and not because I wanted to put myself out of business when these disputes arise, but a co-author and I, and her name is Rosemary Coates, recently have written a book that's set to come out called Successful Supply Chains, Avoiding and Managing Supply Chain Disputes. And what this book is for anybody who's working in a business or who runs a business or who has managerial responsibility at a business. And you start to get that uneasy feeling that you sometimes get when you have a supplier or a customer relationship that's just not going right and you don't know how to deal with it. Or, you know, people whose businesses are expanding and they have, you know, purchasing forms or of their own or terms and conditions of their own that they just have that uneasy feeling that maybe they're not keeping up with the expansion of their business or maybe they're signing on to other people's business forms without knowing really whether that's a good idea Or maybe folks have things that they need to know about suppliers, like a good example is whether they use conflict minerals, but also it could be other things, whether they have effective disaster readiness plans, and they want to know this information, but they don't know how to get it out of the suppliers, or they're having trouble doing that. So this book gives advice, practical advice, on how to have successful supply chains and how to avoid and manage disputes when they arise.
Well, Ms. Radke, this is David Altenburn, Legal Eagle, on our show, and it seems to me we're starting the year off with you with like a perfect blend for our show, because my co-host is a business coach and myself a litigating attorney, and it sounds like you are, you know, on the legal side, obviously, as an attorney, but that you are essentially a consultant or a coach in some sense to businesses that have, you know, a supply chain to the products they produce out there. And so you try to keep them out of the courthouse and out of conflict. Do I understand correctly that's your customer base are advising owners of businesses?
That's right. That's exactly right. And the purpose is some disputes, some litigation is unavoidable, and you know that happens. But a lot of times,
sure,
people can, it's like any other problem. It's like any other relationship. If you address the problems earlier, before they become costly or before your time schedules get too run out, if you address problems earlier, you have a greater chance of success in avoiding huge financial losses or just the relationship not turning out the way that you wanted it to.
Communication always seems to be the key, and trust, you know, we say we like to do business with those we know, like, and trust, and that all takes effort. You got to really know the people with whom you do business, and then over time, hopefully, you get to like and trust those people. And communication is the key to avoiding litigation, even when problems arise, because like you mentioned and alluded there, it can have huge financial consequences depending on what we're talking about, you know, as far as what's the problem in the supply chain? Does it get to the port of Houston and then all of a sudden it's stopped by customs for some reason, labeling or some other reason, and
mm-hmm.
can't get to the end customer who's depending on that large shipment to produce what they do in the world?
Well, and that's just the amazing thing. Even for smaller companies, family-owned companies, people's supply chains in the last 10 years have gotten so much longer, so much more international, and in some ways so much more brittle than they used to be. Now we're in a place where a tsunami in Japan can affect products and businesses that you wouldn't even guess.
Interesting. So we've become a global economy, you're saying, not only kind of internet-based, but technology-based, but in the actual shipment and transportation and in the supply chain of all that goes into products out there, the parts that go into products out there, or, you know, the manufacture of products out there for reselling, that sort of thing?
That's exactly right. I mean, take a particular product, an iPhone. Let's roughly estimate that 100% of the people in the universe own an iPhone. You would not believe where those components come from. Some of them come from, you know, the middle of the earth. Certain metals, they come from that place. Some things are assembled in Asia. Some things are assembled here. But by the time that iPhone gets in the hands of every single person in the universe that owns one, you know, the components of that thing have been all over the world.
Things have to really come together, it sounds like, on a scheduling basis, like very few of us really understand.
Yeah, that's very true. And
definitely.
To amplify on something that you said, that, you know, doing business and avoiding disputes is about trust and communication, it is. But I would amplify and say trust but verify. The touchstone of any business relationship and supply chain relationships are no different, is your contract documents. And that's where you need to make sure that you are strong. It's good to have good working relationships, but if you don't have a right to a certain protection that you need in those agreements, then the other person is running a business too, so they have to watch out for their own stakeholders and their own customers.
Yeah. Great.
Sure, I like what you're saying. Yeah, I like what you're saying there, because, you know, I've got this big kick for 2015 of helping people set expectations. And
that's right.
I know with David, because Dave and I are really good friends, of course, but I know he spends a lot of time with his clients and setting expectations for you know, the outcomes of their cases. And it sounds like you, like him, spend a lot of time educating and helping your clients on both sides, the production and the people that are actually, getting merchandise, to set expectations between them and actually put them down in writing so everyone's clear on what's supposed to be happening and what will happen.
That's exactly right. And that, there are things that we can do sort of from a advisory capacity. It's kind of like going in for a checkup, right? Every once in a while, it's good to make sure that your documents are doing what they need to be doing. And, I mean, it may not seem exciting to the people who make products, but those legal documents are the things that form not just the framework of your rights. I mean, they are your rights. They are when the rubber hits the road, that's the document that everybody needs to look to.
Let me expand a little on that, because I am where the rubber meets the road typically, which is the lawyer contacted for litigation. Let me give you a couple examples as we talk about contract and legal documents on setting expectations on relationships. Is, for example, got a situation where there's a small contract not drafted by an attorney, and somebody doesn't pay the balance of amount owed on that contract, and the other person says, well, I can go in and get all the property back, right? Well, let's see. You don't have security documents on the property. You don't have those repossession rights just because. Well, you have to sue for damages. Or alternatively, let's talk in the supply chain, your world, consequential damages we get hit with all the time as a lawyer. The example earlier where products come to the Port of Houston, it gets held up in the Port of Houston, it doesn't get to the end user, and the end user is really upset. And they're like, well, we didn't get your product, so as a result, we lost all this business and we lost all these profits. It doesn't work that way if you don't have your contract documents written certain ways. In other words, if the widget doesn't come to make the bicycle and, you don't sell the bicycle, that means that you have certain element of damages, but you may not get all that you think you're entitled to if you don't have it protected properly, the documents. Do you find those sorts of things in your world?
Absolutely. And, the funny thing is that the body of law that tends to govern your supply chain relationships, at least in the United States, has all kinds of idiosyncrasies that regular people would not understand or that business people wouldn't necessarily relate to intuitively, because that body of law was written by law professors in the 1940s and not by business people operating now. So a good example is, what a no oral modifications clause is, right?
Right. In other words, all amendments must be in writing, signed by both parties in order to be legally effective. In other words, this is the full agreement, what we call an integration clause. There's no side agreements, no promises. And essentially no oral modifications, as you say, because in certainly in major transactions or certainly anything affecting real estate, that's just not allowed typically.
That's exactly right. The problem with it is that there's a provision in the UCC that says that these two can be overridden by conduct. They can be modified or waived by verbal conduct. And so you have this clause in there. I think people assume that that'll do you. But, in fact, sometimes it doesn't. So people have to be – well, first of all, people working on the ground in the supply chain relationship, have to know what the contract says, and they have to be then aware of the impact that their conduct or their words with the other side can have on the sanctity of those contract rights. And there are things that you can do to protect yourself from inadvertently waiving or modifying somebody. But people who are running businesses, I think if they understood how easily contract rights or contract terms can be changed based on, the unthinking statement of a relatively low-level employee, it's terrifying.
Yeah,
definitely.
Years and years ago, a senior partner once said to me as a young lawyer, he's like, I've been litigating a while, and it seems like every contract litigation or trial, there's key parts to the contract that one side or the other or both really want to talk about. And so, like you say, the paper and the contract's very, very important. But then if people's conduct varies that, they will be what's called a stop to deny later that it was maybe modified by their conduct. So you have to be careful, and you need good advisors like yourself. You really do.
Well, Sarah, I want to ask, and I'm sure the listeners want to know as well, you don't have to wait until you're in trouble to contact you. What is the guess, top of your funnel, if you will, to come in and start working with you? Because I know you do. You alluded to doing some advisement and having some books out and having some papers written that would kind of educate people as they came into using your services. What does that look like? What is the top of the funnel? How do people get with you so that they can use your services and understand what it means to actually have good expectations in writing put together?
Right. So people should feel free to reach out, and we will do sort of a health and safety check of your terms and conditions and your forms for a certain amount of money depending on the complexity of your relationship. And then if you don't want to do that, if you kind of want to intro or if you think your problems are relatively manageable by yourself, then, you know, we do have our book coming out in March or April about how to structure and maintain your supply chain agreements. And the way that the book is structured is it goes through each stage of the supply chain agreement, each thing that you might be working on. So it goes from product development at the beginning, drafting your agreements, development contracts, which is that's one of the thorniest areas if you're working with another company and you're jointly in sort of a supplier capacity and you're jointly developing a new product, but nobody can be real sure about how it's going to go. There's a chapter on that. There's a chapter on order documents, procurement documents like POs. There's a chapter on modifying your agreements. And then there's chapters on how to handle and deal with things like warranty claims, recalls, disputes, arbitrations, things like that.
Gotcha. Very nice. Well, you know, we got to wrap up the segment. And, David, I think we've nailed 2015. We've had two rock star guests on. And, Sarah, we appreciate you coming on the show and letting everyone know what you do and who you are. And if you would, just let people know how to get in touch with you. How do we contact you?
Yep. My law firm website is www.squiresanders.com. And for me, it's /srathke, R-A-T-H-K-E. And
gotcha.
My email is sarah.rathke@squiresanders.com.
Perfect. Perfect.
Very
going to end this segment and appreciate you being on the show. We'll head into commercial break.
Okay. Thank you so much. I had a great time.
Are you one of those
people
who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune into Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Nectar in the world, it seems to me we have connected our audience today with two coaches in kind of specialty fields. We had one in the college financial aid arena to help parents and students-to-be to navigate the world of college finance for the best education at the least cost. And then we had in the business arena with an international major law firm, an attorney that specializes in advising owners on how they can be all that they want to be by maintaining proper contracts and documents and terms to those contracts and relationships in the supply chain in our global economy, where the parts to the products that are out there come from all over the world. So it seems like we've had kind of a fascinating show today on both spectrums, from getting started in business to succeeding in business.
Oh, definitely. We the two rock star guests. And, you know, we start off the show talking about the expectations for opportunity, talking about new beginnings and looking at it. And these two guests fell right into to that journey of looking at those things and how you put things in place to meet certain expectations. And we discussed a little bit about, you know, how, you know, when you're making your plan, make sure you know what you're expecting for your benchmarks in your plan so that your plan works for you and you can actually achieve what you want to do. Has to be very specific and very defined. And David, when I get to work with clients on helping them make connections, and I'm sure that comes when I say that it's going to fall right in line with how you work with clients too, when you're working with them to make connections and you're doing the things that need to be done to get them where they need to go, then making sure that they understand your expectations and making sure you know and understand their expectations, make the relationship work and make the outcome what it needs to be. And it's very hard to do that. And when we're given an opportunity, it's very hard sometimes to know, you know, where that's going to lead or where that's going to take us. But at the same time, if we set an expectation for ourselves and we understand the expectations of the opportunity, then when we put that plan together, we set those goals, we know exactly where we're going, exactly where we need to be at what time, and we can tweak and modify our plan so that it does work. It's been a great show, Dave.
Yes, you know, we talk about educating and entertaining and encouraging and exciting the entrepreneurs out there to grow, to be inspired, as you started the show this morning with that great quote of, you know, being inspired and growing and kind of letting go of the rest. And with new beginnings, you know, I'm looking out the window of my new law offices that we moved over December 30th and New Year's Eve and kind of putting the finishing touches on here in the Galleria area.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you so much. And so we've had new beginnings. We're talking about expectations, and we had guests that we hope educated and entertained our audience today. And it's been fun. It will continue to be fun as we go forward. And, you know, we had an author. The attorney is coming out with a book to capitalize her expertise and help people out there in business. And, you know, we've got our book coming out, Legal and the Coach, A Journey to Success. And we still have a few spots for those people that want to get in a collaborative book where you contribute one chapter, 2,000 words, and you have a biographical of yourself and contact information for those that get the book between yourself and your co-authors. It's a great experience that both myself and my co-host, Brian Kaiser, have had an opportunity to be a part of on a couple occasions. And we'd encourage our audience out there to contact us if they're interested.
Definitely. That website to get in the book is www.ajourney2success.com. And like you said, we have a few spots still remaining in that compilation book, and we love to get some more people that want to share their journey through struggle, triumph, hardships, and ultimately success with a never quit attitude in that book. So, Dave, it's been a great show. And my last thought is I want to end again with this quote, if you don't mind.
Oh, let's go with it. Third time is charm. Hopefully it's
there you go.
For our audience.
We'll end the show with everyone thinking and reflecting on this. In this new year, 2015, hold on to what grows you, inspires you, encourages you, or blesses you, and let go of all the rest.
Couldn't come up with a more positive thought to start our year and to keep our journey going together. This has been fun. This has been great. let's make it continue to happen for everybody out there. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week. And you want to get in the book, www.ajourneythenumber2success.com. We'll see you on Legal Eagle and the Coach next Wednesday at noon.
You have been listening to Legal Eagle and the Coach with David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.